Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, a federal judge sided with the Justice Department, blocking former President Donald Trump from disclosing information about those classified documents that led to his historic indictment last week. Trump will be allowed to see evidence in the case, but only if his attorneys are present, and he can't talk about it on social media. Well, this past weekend on CBS's Face the Nation, Donald Trump's former Attorney General Bill Barr was talking and unsparingly personal in his criticism of the former president's refusal to turn over those classified documents.
You know, he's like a defiant nine-year-old kid who's always pushing the glass toward the edge of the table, defying his parents to stop him from doing it. It's a means of self-assertion and exerting his dominance over other people. And he's a very petty individual who will always put his interests ahead of the country's.
What does he really think? Let's catch up with Maggie Haberman, senior political correspondent for The New York Times, author of the book Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America. Maggie, your thoughts on Barr's take.
Robin, thanks for having me. I have to say I was very struck by this interview. It is the most expansive that Barr has been about Trump, both personally and his character, but also, frankly, about the documents case. You know, Barr is somebody who shared Trump's view of the investigation into whether Trump's campaign conspired with Russia in the 2016 election, and he has been pretty unapologetic about his views about that. This is very different. He is making clear that he does not share Trump's defense of himself, that this is somehow a witch hunt. He thinks that Trump brought this all on himself. And it's a striking difference for people both familiar with Barr's criticisms of Trump, but also it's striking as you're looking at this collection of people. Barr was on television talking about Trump. We saw Mark Esper, the former defense secretary, go on television on Sunday and talk about Trump and Trump's habits and whether this is a national security risk to have him back in office. You saw John Bolton, the former national security advisor, on TV facing a similar topic. And collectively, they paint this portrait of people who have served Trump, known as Republicans, but who are all arguing that this is quite different than other investigations that Trump may have faced and that other moments in this presidency and post-presidency.
After his indictment, Trump gave an angry speech. It was full of misinformation about what he said was his absolute right to take any document he wanted. But then he also had excuses. Let's listen.
I hadn't had a chance to go through all the boxes. It's a long, tedious job. It takes a long time, which I was prepared to do, but I have a very busy life. I've had a very busy life. They make it more busy because you're always fighting.
So Maggie Haberman, Trump saying he was too busy, but he also said those papers are mine. You know, I declassified them by thinking about it. And you discovered Trump staffers called these boxes his beautiful mind boxes after the film about the brilliant schizophrenic mathematician John Nash, who was, you know, plastering newspaper clippings all over his walls. That's an odd comparison. What is your sense of what Donald Trump thinks about these documents? What was he wavering there? What's your sense?
I'm not sure that it's actually that odd a comparison, Robin. The beautiful mind phrase shows up in the indictment in a text sent from Trump employee to another employee. We've been told that that employee is Molly Michael, who was Trump's assistant both in the White House and then in his post-presidency, describing them as the beautiful mind paper boxes, and that Trump wanted them near him because they were, quote-unquote, his papers. We did some reporting on it. We discovered that a group of aides in the White House, usually lower-level staffers, would refer to them as the beautiful mind material, and indeed it was a reference to John Nash. Because of Nash's, you know, belief that these papers had some unique symbolism, you know, at least in the way in which Nash is portrayed in, I haven't read the book, but certainly in the movie, it's that he thought that part of his delusion was that he was cracking some kind of Russian code. It does speak to something about how Trump's aides viewed him. How did Trump view these papers? You know, I think that what we saw in the indictment, Robin, is sort of a number of different facets of Trump's personality, the desire to show off, his, you know, desire to use things as leverage. You know, he appears to have just stumbled on these you know, these papers in front of him. But as we've reported that, you know, he describes having this big pile of papers in front of him. But one reading of it could be that he brought those papers there on purpose to try to push a ghostwriter and a publisher for Mark Meadows' book to include this in the book that they were writing. That was the purpose of this meeting in the first place. It shows his admiration for people who skirt the rules. It shows his desire for payback. All of this collectively shows who Trump is, I think, and how he operates. But the why of it is not really clear still, Robin. You know, Donald Trump is known to try to monetize almost anything he can. We know that prosecutors examined that as a motive in terms of subpoenaing information related to business deals in different countries. That was noticeably not in the indictment. They don't need to prove motive necessarily to get a conviction at trial, but I think the motive is going to remain a piece of intrigue in this case.
Right, and we've been hearing about how his aides and fellow Republicans have been begging him, just give them back, just give them back. You know, all of this could have been avoided. And by that, all that was uncovered because of the investigation and the indictment, all of that could have been avoided if he had just given them back when asked. What are you hearing, you know, the beat inside the party? What are you hearing?
Well, there's a divide. There are people who will argue that just sort of unequivocally that this was wrong of Donald Trump. There are people who will argue, which Bill Barr did on television, that, hey, we think Hillary Clinton should have been charged, you know, 7 years ago, but she, you know, but even though she wasn't, we still think that this is a legitimate case. There are people who arguing that because Hillary Clinton wasn't charged, it's an illegitimate case. There are people who are pointing to the ongoing special prosecutor look at Joe Biden's possession of classified material from his vice presidential and Senate days. You know, generally what there is, Robin, is a strain by still a large number of Republicans to try to rationalize why this is not something that is being fairly executed against Donald Trump. And he remains, you know, the dominant front runner. Now, there's a lot of major moments still to come. There's debates that are coming in the next couple of months. The first one is on August 23rd. We don't know if Trump is actually going to debate there. But there are moments that could change this race. But I got to say that, you know, Trump's grip on a significant portion of the party remains.
And just to be clear, because that is the case that many Republicans are making, that while Hillary Clinton had classified emails, Joe Biden had classified documents, so did Mike Pence. What is, just very briefly, what is the difference between them and Donald Trump?
Sure. I mean, look, the major difference, Robin, is that Trump was given a year to roughly to turn this material over. And when he did, it was partial, according to prosecutors. And then he played a shell game with them after a grand jury subpoena. You know, that is a significant difference in all of those cases. The Clinton case involved an email server. It was slightly different. Pence's case has already been closed. The Biden one is still outstanding. But, you know, Biden certainly invited investigators in to come search his properties. You know, Trump has argued that's what he did. That's not quite what he did.
Maggie Haberman, senior political correspondent for The New York Times, author of the book Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America, giving us a few minutes of her thoughts on this Monday morning. Maggie, thank you.
Robin, thanks so much for having me.